Good evening. Thank you so much for leading that song, because it's kind of the inspiration for where this lesson came from. Just want to take a moment as well to thank you all so much for making me feel real welcomed here since I've been here. It's not easy being a little bit away from home, and you guys have really welcomed me in, and I appreciate that. Wish I could spend more time with you, but I only get a couple hours a day, and so most Sundays that's spent a Sunday morning and then back to work. But I appreciate it. It's real difficult sometimes to just be away from your home, so having you guys here has been a real help, and I've looked forward to worshiping with you on Sundays when I'm here. Lighthouses. My mother loved them, so one day I was looking at how they work, and I realized that there's some parallels that we can draw from them in our own lives. First, I want to start off with a story. It's a story about how the song that we just sung came to be. It starts off with D.L. Moody. He was an evangelist speaker and preacher during about the Civil War era, and he came and held meetings all over the country, but he also ended up stopping here around Cleveland. One night, he relayed a story about a shipwreck. On a dark and tempestuous night, when not a star was visible, a ship was approaching the harbor of Cleveland with a pilot on board. The captain noticed only one light as they drew near, that from the lighthouse. Asked the pilot if he was quite sure it was the Cleveland Harbor, as other lights should have been burning at the harbor mouth. The pilot replied that he was quite sure, whereupon the captain inquired, "Where are the lower lights?"
"Gone out, sir," replied the pilot.
"Can you make the harbor then?" asked the captain, to which the pilot answered, "We must, sir, or perish." Bravely, the old man steered the vessel upon her course towards safety, but alas, in the darkness of the harbor mouth, he missed the channel, and the ship struck upon many rocks, and in the stormy waters, many lives were lost. Moody then ends this story by appealing to his audience, saying, "Brothers, the master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep our lower lights burning." Among those in attendance was Philip Bliss, who is a very well-known hymn writer, and if you look at the bottom of the hymn we just sung, is the one who penned the words and the music of the striking story, and it ended up becoming one of his most popular hymns. And I think about this, and I think about lighthouses, and a lot about them. I've grown up looking at them because my mom loves them so much that if we go somewhere and there's a lighthouse, we normally have to explore it, or she, you know, gets lighthouse-based decorations and such. Or if there's anything on TV about lighthouses, we're watching it. So I want to first start off with the question, where are lighthouses? Where are they in terms of where do you find them? Well, where should they be? They're along the shore, right? They're along the coast. You can see in the picture here, this is where you can find them. And then you can ask yourself, if you find a lighthouse in the middle of the plains of Kansas, is that lighthouse doing the job as compared to the one seen in this picture, or many of the ones that you can even see in the Cleveland Harbor, because I have a sight of those from my office in downtown. The other question is, when is a lighthouse needed the most? Is a lighthouse needed during the day? No, it's needed in the dark. When the darkness looks like it's about to overtake the area, the lighthouse stands there and becomes an answer to the darkness. And what's interesting about light and darkness is that the Bible talks about them rather frequently, and a lot of times they often, you know, take a comparison of, if there's mentioned of darkness, there's oftentimes mentioned of light. We can look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 4 through 5. "But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of day. We are not of the night or of darkness." Here, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians here, and he's talking about them being prepared.
he's talking about the returning of the Lord. And here he's saying, you're not in darkness. Why are you not in darkness? Because you are prepared. You are doing what you're supposed to be doing, therefore you're in the light. The Lord's going to return, but you're not going to be found unprepared. And we have to think about that with our own lives. Are we in the darkness? Think of the beginning story of the ship that was looking for something, but it was in the darkness. It wasn't prepared, and there wasn't a light there for it. We can go to John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. It does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The world hates the light because the light exposes. And that's what happens. If the sailors had the lower lights burning, it would have exposed the dangers that were up ahead. But also, light attracts. Right? The sailors were also looking for a light. So we can understand that we're going to be there, we're going to be this lighthouse, and if we're doing our job, if we're going to be this good lighthouse, we're going to repel those who don't want it, but we're also needing to be there for those who do, because there are going to be those looking for it. This means we need to work where darkness is. We need to be actively going into the darkness, which is the world. The world is a dark place. The world is an ungodly place. And we need to be out there being a light so that we can be a beacon for others to come toward us. One verse that I really liked when I was looking through all these verses was in the NLT translation. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. And I love this verse because this idea that it doesn't matter how much darkness there is, as long as there's light, the light is going to overcome. And we know that the light is God, and that it will always overcome the darkness. I think we could, you know, depending on your generation, you use examples of whether it's lighting a match or a lighter, I guess now your cell phone, in the darkness. And just that small light just takes away so much darkness. So what is the job of a lighthouse? That's one of the things that draw me to this analogy of a lighthouse and us being lighthouses. Well, it's to warn. It's to warn of dangers that are coming ahead. In Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 9, Isaiah says, behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel and wrath and fierce anger to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. Isaiah was titled the Weeping Prophet. He was warning of a destruction to come. He was warning those that, you know, there's a problem coming and you need to do something about it. And many people didn't want to listen to that. We have the same problem today. We have the same problem where people believe that everything's fine and everything's safe. But what people fail to understand is that the God that Isaiah is warning about in the Old Testament is the same one that is in the New Testament. The wrath is still coming. Whether we haven't seen examples of it doesn't mean it's not coming. And many people will tell you that it's a different God, but it is not. And we are here to warn them. Yes, we should be lights in the world. Yes, we should show joy in our lives. But there's so many false teachings going on today that says, oh, it doesn't matter what you believe and what I believe. We're both okay. And we can't allow that to happen. We need to warn them. Yes, I have this joy. Yes, I have this hope. Here's why. And guess what? If you're missing it, you don't have these things and you're going to miss the boat. Then Colossians 1 verse 28 says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This light needs to go out to everyone. We need to proclaim him to everyone. We need to warn everyone. Everyone we have ever been in contact with. Do they know what's about to come in at the end of days when there's going to be a judgment? Do they know the dangers that are ahead? Do they know that some decision they'd be making may put them down a path that's going to cause them great harm? And we need to do that. We have that responsibility. No matter where we are, whenever we are, wherever we are, that's the thing that's most important for us on our actions. One of the best ways we can warn people is to live a godly life, and they can see God in us, and they can understand that there's a difference. Another job of the lighthouse is to save. Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Here we have an instruction that we need to go out into all the world, but also it shows that there's going to be two different responses to our preaching. But we do need to do this. We've been warning, but we're also going to save. There's a lot of good that can be done from warning someone not to do something and not giving them a remedy. And that's what we're also supposed to do. We're supposed to teach people and say, your life is lost in the state that it's in. But there is a way for it to be saved. There is a way to have the hope that I have. And I think that it's interesting here that he's also saying that he's basically giving them the heads up that there's going to be those who aren't going to want to follow it. And there can be those, and we can use the example of a lighthouse here where the lighthouse is going to be there whether the sailor uses it or not. But the sailor who's in the storm, who looks to the lighthouse and uses that as a guide to come home safe, is going to be saved rather than those who just ignore the beacon that's there and they're going to be lost. And those who ignore the gospel being the beacon that we ought to be are going to be destined for disaster. Finally, for the jobs, the last job is to serve. There's a quote by George Bernard Shaw that I found while looking up lighthouses. And he says, "I can think of no other edifice constructed by man as altruistic as a lighthouse. They were built only to serve." And we can think of that in our own lives. In Mark chapter 10, this morning in our Bible class, we just talked about some of these things. We talk about the idea that we need to be serving. That, you know, the apostles at the time didn't exactly understand what was happening. And Jesus was trying to emphasize to them, in my kingdom, you're going to need to serve. That's my priority. Jesus has given us many examples of serving. And if Jesus is serving others, what is our responsibility to do? Many people wander this life wondering what the meaning of life is. But as Christians, we know that we're made to serve God and obey His will. And within that comes serving our fellow man, as He's instructed us to do. We are meant to be there for others. So how does a lighthouse work? It's actually pretty complicated as it's gone through the years. It started off basically before writing, and people would just have fires near the shore. But it has gotten to become a very developed science, to the point I think that nowadays most things are operated with lasers, so that's pretty cool. But this idea of a source, that's where the first part of the lighthouse comes in. You need to have a source, whether it was the fire or now with the lasers. You need some type of light source that comes. So what is our light source? James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." He is a constant light. To have that beam just constantly going is something that can be so reassuring. If we're talking about what makes a good lighthouse. It's something that's going to be constantly there, that you need the source to be unchanging. We know that we have this rock. He talks about that a lot of times, where we have this rock, this foundation. There's a concept in philosophy where people are basically built up and they have no idea what foundation they're standing on. And philosophy seeks to tear down that foundation and build it back up on something more solid. And I was sitting there in my intro to philosophy class for one of my gen eds, and I thought, you know, that could be probably a lot of the problems of Christians. You know, I've grown up in the church and I've been blessed to do so, but I've watched a lot of my friends fall away, and I wondered why that happened. And I realized it's because the foundation that they had was unstable. They didn't understand why they believed what they believed. They grew up understanding and, you know, they were smart people, but they didn't apply the foundation to their lives. So the moment that a hard wind blew, they fell off. And this is the foundation, this is the source we need to have, is the solid foundation of Christ and understanding that He is God and that we have this hope. And if we firm our foundation, because we sing about that a lot of times as well, we have this strong light source. Then we have John 1, verses 1, chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There is nothing but light. Constant light. There's not going to be a time where it goes out. There's not going to be any worry about it. He is all light. And that's really hard for us to think about. If you look at this building and you look up at the ceiling, there's a lot of lights here, but there's still some darkness, right? The light's not reaching. But that's not God's limitations. God will reach everyone, and His light is going to shine. And it's either going to expose the deeds, or, as the verse we just read earlier said, people are going to come to it because they want to have those deeds be seen. Then we have Psalm 119, verse 30. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. The unfolding of your words here means you're just going to constantly be reading His word. His word is the light. We have His word. We have so many more benefits than those of the first century because we have the full entire manuscript. We have all of the things that we need. And if we use that as part of our source, we read our Bible, we actively engage in that, that's going to be part of our light source. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give light of knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Christ. The knowledge of the glory of God is light. That can be the source within us, in our heart. Are we going to be filled with that? Many times if people struggle with bad situations, whether it's addiction or other problems, a lot of times they talk about the idea that when you remove something and you're trying to remove a bad problem, you need to replace it with something good. Because that hole, that's just going to be a vacuum and something's going to fill it. And if you determine what you fill it with, you're going to have a better chance. Let your light shine out of darkness and put it in your hearts. Put the light in your heart. Fill yourself with so much light, you can't help but be a reflection of that light. One of the interesting things about lighthouses is that it's not that a small light with the mirrors and lenses that they have now can shine so much brighter, right? And we have such a great source, but we also need to let that light out. So we have Luke 11, 33-36 that says, "No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. When it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." Here's a biblical verse of just what we were talking about. You put one lamp on a lampstand in a dark room, it will illuminate the entire room as long as the light is full.
If the light is not working, then it's not shining out to everywhere else. So we need to be filled. And this is another verse talking about it here. This idea that, you know, we think of light in so many ways, but the Bible constantly is telling us to fill ourselves with light, which is not the most scientifically accurate way of presenting how light works, but the concept is still there, right? If we're filling ourselves with this light, which we understand is Christ and God so much, the only thing it's going to be able to do is come out of us. And that's what God's wanting us to do. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We think about when we do good things, when we do anything we do in this world, who is given the glory? That's the one thing that sticks out to me here in this verse, is that we're going to let our light shine. We're going to be this reflection of the source that's within us. And hopefully we're doing it in such a way that the glory is going to God where it belongs. Philippians 2, verse 14 through 16 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hold fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. This verse really sticks with me, because we think about, if you have ever studied ancient Roman history and what's going on at this time, you think of how terrible society had become at that point and how immoral the rest of the world was. But then we also look around to the world we're living in now. I don't think there's never a time where this idea of a crooked and twisted generation doesn't apply. And that he's encouraging us to hold fast to this light and telling us to be lights in this world. He understands that there's going to be darkness around you, but you need to hold fast to that. And he's pleading with the church at Philippi that all of his work was not in vain. So we have to ask ourselves, is our actions being light to this crooked and perverse generation? Then finally, we have to maintain the light. So I mentioned it before, but back in the day, it wasn't just like we had a light switch where we can walk into this building and flip one switch and all of a sudden we have light on. It started off as someone who would need to keep the fire going constantly in a lighthouse. Whether it was starting off with wood, and then it eventually changed to oil or other combustible materials, and now even lasers. The idea was that someone would have to go and keep maintaining this light. That it's going to be something that if we do not constantly act on our light, it is going to dim. We can think of the example that we read in Psalm 119, where it talks about opening his word. If we're not opening the word, we're cutting ourselves off from the source. But we can also look at the example of what life was like as someone who lived in a lighthouse and ran a lighthouse. Up until 1966, lighthouses in the United States did not have elevators. The first one was built in 1966. If you've ever been into a lighthouse, most of them, aside from newer ones, have a long winding staircase that walks up the top of the lighthouse. In a person's life here, you see this picture here, and this is kind of a nicer example, but most lighthouses often existed on an island just off the coast. So you'd live there alone, and you'd be in charge of maintaining the entire lighthouse. And it didn't just mean keeping the fire going. You'd have to walk up those stairs, and you'd have to clean the soot off the lenses and mirrors so that the light could be as strong as possible. There is a constant maintenance to being a lighthouse. There is a constant work that needs to be done. It can never just be quickly wrapped up.
and we need to be doing the same. So in conclusion, I want us to think back to the story that D.L. Moody talked about in his lesson back during the Civil War era. They were looking for a light. The sailors were trying to come home, and the lights weren't ready for those who were looking for them. I want to ask you tonight and let you think about it this week, is our light ready? As we go on out into the world this week, are we going to be a light to the world so that someone who is looking will be able to find us? And you can think, who knows who we may be able to save with the bright light shining in this dark world. The Bible talks about the idea that Jesus says, if there are those who are seeking, they're going to find it. Right? If there's going to be those who are actively seeking Christ, we may not know the hearts of men, but God does. And if we are going to be that light, we're going to be able to hopefully bring others to Him, but also the opportunity to teach others about Him. The example I've used oftentimes is that my uncle did about the same job as I do now. He just recently retired. And he had been at the same place now, I think, for the longest time, for 10 years. And at his retirement party, one of his co-workers came up to him and said, "You know, I always heard you were a Christian, and I was always scoffing and skeptical about it. But now I've known you for over 10 years. And I've seen you in all types of situations. I've seen you in all different types of events and activities. And I can see that you are who you say you are. And I can see that you're really doing what you claim to be." And that really struck with him. Now, he saw that light. He came to that light. That man does not want to be part of that light because that is another challenge, but it's still an opportunity. And that's the responsibility we have, is to bring those and let people see that light. So tonight, we offer an invitation. We have our lower lights burning here for those who are looking to safely come ashore. Whether you want to start your walk with Christ, or maybe your light has dimmed and you need some assistance cleaning the lenses and getting the fire going. Whatever need you may have, please let it be known as we stand and sing.